John, John, do you have the third verse of Love Lifted Me on here?
Like you, probably.
Oh, great. Okay. You can put it on the whole song then.
You better just knock it off. Not too tough.
Mr. Hodge, you're late. Come.
Yeah, but dad, I do.
Are you kidding me?
No.
I like it.
Establishing our goings. Let us sing praise to him. Let's turn to number 16 in our blue hymn book right there in front of you. Hymn number 16. Let's all stand together as we sing this hymn of praise to God. Number 16.
Immortal we
that fourth verse. What are you thankful about our immortal, invisible, only wise God who hath made heaven and earth? What are you thankful to God for this morning? What do you want to praise Him about? His character, His attributes. Who'll be first this morning? Evan?
I just want to praise the Lord. First of all, I had a great checkup with Dr. Rounds, and we were able to share the good news of our church with my Dr. Rounds.
Good, wonderful, amen. Who else? Yes, Joe.
Praise that He's a merciful God that gave His Son for us, and that we are forgiven and have eternal life.
Amen. Who else?
For the other day, I was.
Amen.
Thank you, God, for His glory, for His mercy, and for His love, and for His healing, and for His Son Jesus, the shedding blood upon the cross for us. He set you free today.
Amen. Amen. Last week in the slideshow of the church, we showed your mom, and a little caption there, she's smiling.
Right.
It was right after she got saved, and
yes.
So we're thankful. Your mom is up in heaven with the Lord.
Right now.
Amen. Yes. John.
Yes, God created us. Without Him, we wouldn't have life at all. None of us would be alive. He did create us, and He created us with many of His own attributes built into us. Think about some of the words in this song talking about the Lord being immortal. You know, we originally were created to be immortal ourselves, but then sin came in and we put on mortality. The Bible tells us that through the blood of Christ that we will put on it, that the mortal will put on immortality.
Amen.
And it's by the covering of Jesus' blood that we put that on. You know, we're all going to live forever in some sense. You know, question is, are we going to live in heaven, which we would then be immortal, or are we going to live in hell for eternity, where the body, the Bible describes it, will be constantly in burning and torment, where the worms are eating our flesh continually, but yet it's never consumed.
Mm-hmm.
That's not life.
Mm-hmm.
So praise the Lord for His gifts.
Amen. Let's sing that fourth verse. Great Father of glory, pure Father of light, Thine angels adore Thee, all willing thereby, all praise Thee would render, come help us to Thee, with only the splendor of Thy majesty. Amen. Let us bow together in prayer. And especially pray for our country and for unity in our country and for God's protection upon us and all the different things happening. And pray for God to continue to work and to move and send a revival on our nation. That would be wonderful. Pastor Logan, would you lead us in prayer?
Our Father, my God, we do thank you for your prayer. We thank you for the day you provided for us. Scripture does say this is the day the Lord has made. And we rejoice and be glad therein. And Father, we do rejoice and we are glad that we hear to worship you. Thank you for our nation, for our leaders and authority. We pray for them. We thank you for the nation of Israel. Thank you for Israel's people, Lord. We pray for them. We wait for the day that you send your word that the day will come and all Israel shall be saved. We wait for that day with expectation, Lord. We thank you, Father, for our country. We pray for all in authority, Father, not only for those at the top, but we thank you for our policemen, our firemen, and our first responders, all of those that give us a more peaceful life here on this earth, Lord.
Amen.
For that. Father, we thank you for this church, we thank you for our pastor, we thank you for his family, Lord. We pray that you might continue to rule and have your way in our lives, Lord, as in our lives, Lord. Thank you for each and every member, Lord, that whatever they're going through, that they will take that problem to you. All right, and thank you. Turn to the Lord and lead them there. And we thank you, Father, that you will fulfill our needs according to your riches and glory. Father, we pray for all the needs the pastor has mentioned, Father. We know that you know all our needs and you can take care of all our needs. So, Father, we just thank you for that. We pray, Father, for those that are not able to be with us today because of various reasons, Lord. We just pray for them, Lord, to be with them and guide them, Lord. We thank you especially for the Roy, Lord. We continue to pray with them. We thank you for our team, Lord. We pray for her and for John and for his mother, Lord. We pray that you might be with that family, Lord. We pray for Pat, Lord. Continue to her, so Karen, as she goes through the doctor's procedure there, take care of her body and all, we pray for her, and might be with her. As she goes through these, provide the necessary medical bill be paid for, and she'll be able to be better than you will. Then, Father, we pray for our nation, lots is going on in our nation, Lord, and we know that you have all things in your mind, Lord, and that you will work all things to your glory, Lord. We thank you for the scripture says that all things work together, not just some things, but all things work together for the good. For those that love thee, those that are called according to your purpose, Lord, when you call, you preach it, yes, Lord, to be conformed to your will. We thank you, Lord. We pray for the message today. Bless the pastor as he delivers the message. Bless us as we see sorrow with sorrow, Lord, that we might not only hear the word, but we might also go out and come do the word.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let us turn back to our hymn book, hymn number 796. 796. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. The day you got saved, the day that heaven came down. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus my Savior I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend, He met the need of sharing their testimony. How and when were you saved by the Lord Jesus? When was it? Tell us about it. Tell us how you're feeling before, and then what happened when Jesus saved you. If you'd like to share their testimony. Yes, Joe.
I remember it was January 3rd, 2010. And I grew up Catholic, and it wasn't working for me. You know, it really wasn't working. So I started going to more of a Bible-based church. Seemed to be like in Catholic church, they really didn't read the Bible so much. You know, it was all rituals and you know. But when I started to read the Bible more, and I started to see that God's word was true, and that I was going to be going to heaven, and I just had to believe in my heart, you know, and confess on my lips that I do believe that you know He died on the cross for our sins. And filled me with a peace that I've had that peace ever since.
Amen. Catholicism doesn't really work for anybody because it's a works-based system. God says we can't earn His grace. It's by faith, by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It's a gift of God.
Amen.
So the Bible sets us free from works. All right. Yes, Dawn.
Well, when I was growing up, I was not raised anywhere near a Christian family or nothing, but we had a church that reached out. It was a Nazarene, and they actually came and picked us up.
Wonderful.
So by the grace of God,
amen.
In my situation, which wasn't that great, I was able to get out of my house and go to church and realize that there was really a God that I could ask to be my Father. And love me unconditionally. Mm-hmm. And there is nothing more, I don't even know the word for it, nothing more, it's just amazing what He's done in my life from where I came from. So I praise God.
Amen.
Grace.
Amen.
And love.
Amen. Amen for those pickup ministries. That's why it's so important to pick up those neighbors that want to go to church and or that don't know the Lord yet. Say, hey, I'll pick you up on my way over to church. And, you know, throw them in the car. Don't throw them in the car, but please pick them up. And that way they can hear about Jesus. Yes, Jimmy.
I remember when I first met you and Sister Dixon, and I'm not quite sure, or the year, or she asked if I know the Lord as my Savior. I said no, so I got saved on that year and finally found the church.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Let's sing verse 2. Born of the Spirit.
Born of the Spirit with life from above. Tender God, gladly divine. Justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a friend we did find. And the transaction so quick and unpaid. When at the sinner.
Second part of the third verse, and then we'll join on the chorus, men and boys.
Now I've a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure. There is a special love on
ladies. Scripture reading, turn to Psalm 63, Psalm chapter 63, and we'll have one of our deacons come and read that for us. I don't know who was last, so they'll have to figure that out. Psalm 63, okay.
Let us stand together as we read God's word. Psalm 63. Read it responsibly. I read the first verse, you the second, and we go on to the end. Verse 11. O God, thou art my God. Only will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land, where no water is. Because of thy loving kindnesses is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in thy shadow of thy wings will I rejoice.
My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand hath holding me.
But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth.
They shall fall by the sword, they shall be a portion for foxes.
Together, but the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that swear in him shall glory. And all that the
peace God.
May God bless to our hearts his words. You may, oh, Proverbs, okay. Chapter 2, we read down half of the verses.
15 through 18.
15 through 18. Chapter 2. Whose ways are crooked, and they fall, and they fall forward in their paths. Which forsaketh thy guide of her mouth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it together. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. May God bless to our hearts his words. You may be seated.
Amen. And let's pray for Brother Hodges' back. He was out cutting the branches down that you see down in the field there, and had a little minor injury with his back. So pray for him as he recovers. How's your back today?
Much better.
Much better, okay. So let's pray for Brother Hodge. Anyone else? Okay, at this time we'll direct your attention to our bulletin. And if you need one, we'll get one to you. It's good to have a first-time visitor with us today. We're glad we had quite a few last week, visitors for our 25th church anniversary. It's good to have Dawn this week. Welcome, Dawn, from Upper Township, correct? All right. Welcome, Dawn. We're glad to have you with us. And we have a visitor's card. If you wouldn't mind filling that out, put that in the offering plate as it comes around as a record of your visit here with us. Great. Thank you, Evan. Anyone else need a bulletin? Okay. It says, "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me." Psalm 138:8. He continues to keep working on us. And he will continue to draw us closer to the image of his son, Jesus, the longer we live. Just by way of announcements on the left-hand page, let us say our February memory verse together, Philippians 1:27b. Let's say it reference, verse, then reference. Philippians 1:27b. That ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Philippians 1:27b. Okay, let's say it again. Philippians 1:27b. That ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Philippians 1:27b. All right, we'll go ahead and say that verse next week. So work on that this week. Put the bulletin by your kitchen counter or wherever you usually sit to eat, and that way you can work on this verse, and we'll say it together next week from memory. We'll say it individually from memory next week. So it's our theme verse for the year, that we as one body, our church body, we are to stand fast in one spirit. That means the spirit of unity with the Holy Spirit and with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. There much can be accomplished if we all get close to God, then we will get close to each other as we have one mind to preach the gospel in our community and to see people saved and then grow in the Lord. Then to pray for Patty as she had her chemo this past week. How's Patty doing? Has anybody heard? How's she doing?
I find her to loop up and down. She has her good days, she has her bad days. The chemo was making her sick, but then the next day she was feeling a lot better.
Good. Tricia?
Patty is receiving radiation every day. And this Wednesday, thank the Lord, she'll be at her 2.5-week point. So she'll still have 2.5 more weeks of radiation with the 5-week treatment. The chemotherapy, I was talking to her yesterday, from what she explained to me, she is constantly wearing some type of an apparatus that is delivering chemotherapy to her body. Mm-hmm. Twice a week, that gets refilled. It gets changed and refilled. So she's technically constantly receiving chemo.
Okay.
I've never heard of that before. It goes right into her port.
Okay, let's keep praying for Patty as she gets this treatment for her cancer and that it can be eradicated and removed by God's strength. Then also pray for Roy. He had an up and down week this week. How's he doing now?
This morning wasn't good. As I was trying to leave around 10 o'clock, I had to put in a call to the triage nurse from Holy Redeemer, because his blood pressure went very high again. Jay is there with him, taking his blood pressure every hour. So if my phone beeps, please excuse me. But we need to watch that carefully. They will be sending a nurse out tomorrow, but wanted to just watch it today and see if we can figure out any pattern to this, because it's just been crazy. Last night he was fine. During the Bible study, he was fine. And last night when he went to bed, we took his blood pressure, and it was perfect. So something happens during the night, and we don't know what it is yet.
Okay. All right. Any ladies want to share a blessing from the Bible study yesterday? Any ladies want to share a blessing from the Bible study yesterday? Yes, Jen.
I was supposed to be there, number one.
Amen.
And I felt that it was centered around me, and it wasn't all about me. I don't mean to sound like that, but it was particularly revealing to me. And that we were talking about choices, our choices and our attitudes, and the little ditties that Carol taught us and told us about palms up, you know, the higher your attitude, the higher your altitude, so to speak. And it was just, to me, it was just a huge blessing.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else want to share? Any of the other ladies? Yes, Nancy.
When Carol
told me Anthony to come, I was so happy that he called me. Oh, that's great. Wonderful. Heard it was a good meal as well. So that's a plus. Yes,
I wasn't able to make the whole Bible study, but I was able to get in on the food. And that was good.
Sounds good. Yep, amen. And, and how's Kenny doing? How's his health?
That's kind of a lot, I think, what's going on right now. Mm-hmm. So we just found out that CPAP machine actually has a recall on it, and we found that out through Kansas, believe it or not. What a way around things. God is great.
Amen.
We found that out, but it's going to be 2 weeks before he gets it, and he could use a few prayers right now. He's a little nuts.
Okay.
That's all right. He's a husband. I love it.
Amen. For better, for worse, right?
Yeah,
amen.
You're right.
Amen. God is good. And so praise the Lord that they found out about that. So pray for Kenny and his health. All right, but just while we have other announcements, then pray for Peggy, Eunice's aunt, who didn't get clearance for a thyroid surgery. So pray for her. She has a goiter. Also pray for Angela Straw, who's at home. And praise the Lord. Eunice did get a job, so praise the Lord. That's a big answer to prayer. Then this Thursday night, we have a special event here at the church. We have an organizational work night. We're trying to get organized certain areas that need attention. And you know how it is, especially when we minister for God's glory. You know, we can't just stay after church and do it because we have people to attend to or things to do. And so this is a catch-up night to help catch up on the things that may be running a bit behind, such as Master Club banners and badges, flower room. Need to get that organized. So if we can have any ladies that like flowers, if you can make it Thursday night, that'd be great to help us get some organization. The deacons and I will be putting in a shelf, another shelf for the, especially for the Christmas poinsettias. Then also the junior church room and materials. We'd like to organize the Sunday school materials and the costume room and the decorations. So if you can help us with any of these things, and many hands make light work. We'll start at 7. We'll have some goodies here, not necessarily dinner items, but at least some snacks to munch on to help encourage the workers in each one of us as we work this Thursday night. Then Saturday we are going out at 3 p.m. To give out the gospel. Come join us for a blessing to come and share in our community the good news of Jesus as we go door to door or we go apartment to apartment or wherever we go. Then we have a safety recognition day coming up Sunday, March 10th. We are welcoming our police, firefighters, EMTs from any of the surrounding cities in Atlantic County. We want to, parts of Cape May County, we want to get them here to recognize them. You know, a lot of them are underappreciated or unappreciated. They don't hear very much. Well, we appreciate your service. And so it's a great time to encourage them that they are appreciated and what they do for our communities, but also to give them the gospel. A great opportunity to have a lot of visitors here to give them a recognition award as well with a Bible verse on it, as well as then give them the gospel, which they need. They're on the front lines. At any day, we hear every day about police or firefighters, sometimes medical personnel passing into eternity every day. So we need to tell them before it's too late that they might know Christ as Savior. And what a joy that would be to lead some of our safety personnel to Christ. So we're going to meet tonight during the service to start organizing for this event. So if you can help in any way, maybe you can make some finger sandwiches for the light meal to follow. Or you can help us with getting a hold of your city's personnel. We're going to send some letters out, and so that way you can hand delivering letters is very personal. Say, hey, this is for the whole office here, you know, and so that's a help just to go in person and to hand deliver. So if you can help us with any of these things, come on out tonight, 7 o'clock for our evening service as we look at Hillsong, as we look at Southern Gospel and rock and roll in general, and the philosophy change that comes in to churches when these things come in. And we're going to actually see it firsthand, see the fruit of it in some of the videos that we're going to watch tonight. Then Master Club Regionals, the kids are getting ready for that, so young people, work hard. Then our evangelistic meetings with Dr. Gary Gilmore, and he's bringing with him a young couple who's an evangelist as well. He's called into evangelism by God, and so he's going to be helping Dr. Gilmore, and they'll be teaching junior church each night through the week. He'll be helping with the music through the nights during the week, and his wife will be helping with those things as well. So pray for them as they come in March 24th through the 28th. So here are some ways that we can prepare for the meetings by praying. Let's pray now, specifically for Dr. Gilmore, for the new evangelist and his wife, and for the meetings. And let's pray for our loved ones, our family members who aren't saved yet. Let's pray for our friends who aren't saved yet. Let's pray for them by name, and that God would do a work this March in those meetings. And then we have an ushers and greeters meeting. We need just some organization with those who are interested in being ushers, as well as any ladies who are interested in being greeters, just so we can get all on the same page and get together in ministry. So that will be in 2 Sundays from today. This time we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord this morning of our tithes and offerings to God. Let us bow together in prayer.
Dear Lord, thank you for the help the money for us received. Dear Lord Jesus, my prayer, amen.
Amen. Let us turn back to our hymn books in the Majesty Hymn Book, number 91, the red hymn book there in front of you, the maroon red hymn book, should be one near your seat there. Number 91, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Let's stand together as we sing. Special music before our message this morning.
mission, my Savior, to Calvary go. Why should He love me so? Nailed pierced His hands and His feet for my sin. Why should He love me so? He suffered sore my salvation to win. Why should He love me so? Why should He love me so? Why should He love me so? Why should my Savior to Calvary go? Why should He love me so? Oh, how He agonized there in my place. Why should He love me so? Nothing withholding my sin to efface. Why should He love me so? Why should He love me so? Why should He love me so? Why should my Savior to Calvary go?
Morning. We're starting or doing a new, not a new message, but a message I believe that will help the young people. So if that's okay, we're gonna have the young people stay in. It's on the occult and magic, sorcery, witchcraft, all those things. So if our junior church teacher doesn't mind, we can keep them in. Is that okay with you, Esther? Okay. All right. So let us turn our Bibles this morning, and we have a PowerPoint along with this. John, it's right on the desktop there. On the occult, let us turn in our Bibles to Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18. What does God say about magic? Magic. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Let me turn this on. There we go. This is on now. Deuteronomy 18, and starting in verse 9, and before we begin, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessing of being in Your house this morning to worship You. We thank You that You do love us so. We don't know why. We just know that You told us that You loved us, and so because You loved us, we could now love You, and we love You because You first loved us. And we are so thankful for such perfect divine love that we desire to emulate. Lord, help us to love You more this morning by worshiping You through the preaching of Your Word this morning. That You'd speak to our hearts. That You'd uncover any sin, any area that would be guarded and protected from You, that we could expose it to You so that You can take it out, root it out of our lives, that You might make us more fit children of Yours, so that we can have more blessings, more joy through our obedience to You this morning. We pray that You'd speak to our hearts, help us to then be able to minister it to others, help others who are in the trap and web of Satan and his deceit, and as an angel of light trying to pretend that he is something good when he is not. And Lord, help us to dive into the Scriptures this morning and be Bereans, that we'd study the Word diligently. Amen. And most importantly, that You'd fill me with Thy Spirit, and You'd fill each one of us with Your Spirit, that we would desire to be Spirit-filled Christians, that would be doers of the Word and not just hearers only. In Jesus' name, amen. Deuteronomy 16, at Deuteronomy 18 and verse 9, we read what God said when they were to come in to the land of Canaan. when they were to come into the land of Canaan, there were certain sins that the Canaanites had done that was very wicked. Certain sins that the Canaanites had done that was so abominable that the land was literally spewing them out. Their immoral debaucheries, the way they committed adultery loosely, the way they committed fornication loosely, the way they committed homosexuality, and all those accompanying sins so loosely. Well, these are some of the reasons God said even the land was vomiting them out, spewing them out. Well, here's what God said about the pagan practices of the land. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 9, it says, "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all thee that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do." Okay, so here we see God was warning his people not to get involved, not to do anything but destroy the elements of the occult and the pagan practices of them. But not only that, but to drive out those wicked people. And some were set to destruction. Specifically, certain ones of the Canaanites were appointed unto destruction because of their over-the-top debauchery against God. And so we see God's judgment coming. Okay, so let's look at what is the occult. It is a dark realm of danger. An increasingly heard description of 20 and 30-somethings these days is spiritual, but not religious. Ambivalence toward organized religion is near an all-time high. Barna reported in 2014 that over half of millennials hadn't been to church in the last 6 months, many citing the irrelevance, hypocrisy, and moral failings of religious leaders. But by far the most common reason given was that they find God elsewhere. This is a study by a Christian organization by John Stonestreet. And he said, what they mean by both God and elsewhere becomes a bit more clear when you consider the recent explosion of interest in astrology and the occult. Writing at Market Watch, Carrie Paul explains that young professionals and artists in Brooklyn are today less likely to ask, "Where do you live?" or "What do you do?" and more likely to ask, "What's your star sign?" The owner of one so-called metaphysical boutique in New York says business has never been better. Her occult accessories fly off shelves and into the apartments of educated urban young people. For those who want to go even deeper, her establishment offers workshops like Witchcraft 101, Astrology 101, and Spirit Seance. Another company sells mail-order kits containing crystals, bath salts, purportedly infused with mystic Japanese healing powers, and incense customized to the unique energy of the current moon cycle. There is even a phone app which lets you keep track of your horoscope, and according to the app's website, will predict when you'll have a bad day or whether you're fated to fall in love with your crushes. The app was so instantaneously popular that its servers crashed the day it was launched. And no wonder, a study by the National Science Foundation found that a majority of American millennials believe astrology is a science, compared with just 8% of Chinese young adults. Okay, they actually believe astrology is a science. Now, young people, just so you know, astrology is not a science. Astrology is the horoscope people and all those people who look at the lines of the stars and they pretend to see things in there. Okay, And, of course, the devil and demons may actually try to show them some things, too, because they open themselves up. But astrology is not a science. It's a fake science. What would be another word for astrology? It's a study of the stars to find people's horoscopes. But it's actually just superstition. It is superstitious. It's very superstitious. You know, you read your horoscope and it sounds like it could happen to anybody who wakes up out of bed that morning, you know? It can happen to anybody. Why? Because astrology is not real science. Astrology is just made up superstition. But, so they'll people try to tell you astrology is real. It's not real, okay? Astronomy, is that a real science? Yes, that's the study of the stars. That's, you know, study of the planets, study of the solar system, okay? Astronomy is a real science, and that's a valid, avenue to go into. Astrology is the study of the stars lining up and horoscopes, and that is superstition, okay? Just want to let you know that. Okay, another company, so even Chinese young adults know that astrology is not science, but unfortunately here in America, because we've kicked God out of society here in America, guess what? Young people today want something spiritual. And they want something that has power, you know? And so they're going to dabble into the devil's practices and in order to find it. Why? Because we've kicked the one true God who has all power out of society by kicking out Bible reading and prayer and out of the public schools and talking about God in society. They're trying to outlaw that now, too. Okay, well, all told, practices like astrology, aura reading, mediumship, tarot cards generated a staggering $2 billion annually. So what do we make of this exodus from organized religion into the arms of new expressions of old paganism? Well, for one thing, it shows young people have no idea what they're actually buying into. As my colleague Roberto Rivera wrote at Breakpoint.org, witchcraft and occult spirituality has been marketed the last few decades as sanitized, consumer-friendly versions of the real thing. Sorcery and star signs may be in vogue now, but one need only to look at the preserved bodies of human sacrifices from Iron Age Europe to know what sort of world this worldview creates. Do you hear that, young people? They used to do that in Europe, okay? That after in the Dark Ages, when the Christians had to hide underground, the born-again Christians, the true believers, the Bible-believing Christians that got saved, and then they baptized their converts. Well, they had to literally hide in dens and caves and run for their lives. Well, during that time, paganism reigned in Europe. And you go to Stonehenge, all those stones laid up. Well, that's like a pagan sacrificial worshiping site where they would literally probably kill people or kill animals and worship these pagan demonic things. And so literally there's all kinds of bodies, preserved bodies of human sacrifices from Iron Age Europe, and that was all going back to witchcraft, the occult, spirituality. So it's nothing new, young people. There's nothing new. Nothing is new under the sun, as Solomon said. So don't think this is new things, that magic, witchcraft, sorcery, oh, it's all new, it's our generation. No, it's not your generation. It goes way back. Many generations have done this, and many generations have killed people, and many generations have used it to worship the devil, and thankfully, through the Bible being proliferated and the Reformation, that we were able to get, when the Bible came on the scene, everyone saw, wait, what are we going to the fake powers? Well, let's go to the real power, who is God, who made heaven and earth. And so that got kicked out of society into the closets, while the Bible-believing Christians got to preach the Word of God. So it's coming back in vogue because of this post-modern era that we're in, where truth is relative, but truth is not relative. It's right here in the Word of God. It's the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. We can find the answers for life and true power for living in the Word of God and in God Himself. And so that's what we need. Okay, so it was onto this scene that Christianity burst, bringing with it the rule of law, science, respect for individuals, and nearly everything that is truly humane about the world we inhabit. Even more importantly, the modern groundswell of pagan piety shows how inadequate secularism is, right? If human secularism was so great, and you know that America is now, you know, saying, "Oh, we are the highest achievement," you know, that man should worship himself and all that he can do in sports and in this and in music and in that. Well, if mankind should worship himself, why are so many young people not really buying into that and looking elsewhere for power? Well, it's because secularism doesn't answer any of those questions. It only puts man further into depravity and sin. Okay, so here, two Harvard Divinity grads recently topped the charts on iTunes with a new podcast that treats the text of J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter novels as scripture. They explain that a secular worldview doesn't speak to people's hearts and souls the way mythical magic does. The fact is, young people aren't being won by atheism in significant numbers. In fact, by some measures, militant unbelief is dying. Rather, trying to fill that deep spiritual longing they have with a faith that offers self-affirmation and a belief in something beyond our physical world, a spirituality that places no moral demands on its adherence. Ultimately, what they're searching for is an alternative to God, who, as one famously said, made us for himself. Isn't it interesting? They're trying to find God, but they don't want God, the God of the Bible. They want to try to find an alternative to God. But here, their hole in their heart, or the what they're missing, is God himself. They're missing Jesus. Okay? And so they're trying to find Jesus in another way. But God does make much such moral demands of us, demands that point us to human flourishing and to himself and his love for us that is fully revealed in Jesus Christ, and that all we have to do is repent of our sins and believe on him. And so we see that the hearts of this generation are looking for spiritual power without changing their lifestyle. They want to do what they want to do, but they want spiritual power too. Well, God says we can't have it both ways. You either have God's power, but we have to flee and youthful lust. We have to deny ourselves, and we have to say, no, I got to repent of my sin and believe on Jesus as my Savior. I can't hold on to the world and have God's power too. So now they're turning to demonic power. Okay, so some interesting thoughts to think on as we go into the study. Let's go to the next slide, John. What is the occult defined? The word occult comes from the Latin word occultus, meaning to conceal or hide from view. It is used, for an example, in astronomy of a planet that passes in front of another planet, thus concealing it. Okay, when we had eclipse, yeah, the full eclipse, they use the word occultus, okay? Demonic things happening. No, it just means it was a hiding of one body over another. The sun was hiding, was being hidden by the moon or another planet. Okay, let us go to the next slide. What is the occult? The occult is that God-condemned practice of using secret supernatural means to bring about superhuman results or obtain secret knowledge, especially of future events. Okay, that what are people trying to do? They're trying to get supernatural means, secret supernatural means. It's always in the dark. The occult and magic, witchcraft, sorcery, is never done in the light, never done in a brightly lit building, it's never done in a brightly lit home. It's always in the dark. Why? Because it's secret things, the concealed things. The devil does not come out in light with his perversions. You know, Jesus said, "Let your light so shine." Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." That's why when we go to church, we don't want to find a church that's dimly lit and it looks like they haven't been paying their electric bills, okay? You don't want to find a church that's dimly lit, that you can barely see anybody and except the performers up on the stage. Why? What are they trying to hide? Well, this is question number one. Number two, God's people need to be able to see what? To see the Word. Okay, we need to see the Bible. We need to examine verses. We need to look at what the God's Word says to compare Scripture with Scripture so that we don't get tossed about with every wind of doctrine. But what are these churches that don't have the lights on doing? Well, yeah, you can use it on your phone and all this, but really, do you really do your most diligent study on your phone? Honest, if we're honest with ourselves, no. Okay, there's so many distractions on that thing. Okay, but when you have a book, guess what? You're not going to get distracted. Why? Because it's right there in front of you, and you can turn from Scripture to Scripture. So that's why we don't have the dimly lit church and all those things. Why? Satan loves the darkness, but God's people should love the light. Okay, so that's one reason alone. Okay, so we read Deuteronomy 18:9-14 clearly. Shows God's attitude toward a cult activity. Let's go to the next slide. God's key statements on the occult. Okay, if you look at verses 12 to 14 here. Number one, occultists, those who practice witchcraft, sorcery, magic, use divinations, observers of times, cause their children to pass through the fire. Okay, don't ever forget that. If anyone says, oh, I'm a good witch, or I'm a magic artist that practices, you know, things of light. Well, never try to tell them, hey, the connection that you have in your craft is one that's connected with sacrificing people and babies to a demonic deity. Okay? That's the connection. And they can't erase it out of there, no matter how much Satan wants to try to erase history. They can't erase that from witchcraft and sorcery. That this practice has stemmed all the way back. You know, it goes back full all the way back to near the Garden of Eden. At the Cain's descendants, when Cain had his descendants, they practiced those same things of making beautiful things out of iron and brass. They made musical instruments, and they also then made these statues out of metal. Okay, you say, oh wait, I thought we didn't have metal until, you know, the Iron Age, the Bronze Age, and well, yeah, we had to rediscover the metal workings. But guess what? Before the flood, they know how to do it right away. Okay, go to the Ark Encounter down in Kentucky. You'll see that. See a lot of visuals of all these things. But Cain's descendants knew how to smelt iron and make brass and bronze and do all the metal things that we think are so technologically advanced. They knew how to do it right away. And they made these, think about it, they were living for hundreds and hundreds of years at a time. They didn't just have a span of 70 years and then they died, and out of that only about 40 years of productive passing on of information. No, think about it, when people live hundreds and hundreds of years, how much information someone can retain and how much knowledge and how advanced a civilization could become very fast. And that's exactly what they did. They became very advanced, very fast, and they made all these things, but then they would sacrifice their children to these idols that they would make out of metal, and they would heat up the statue really hot, and they'd heat it with a furnace or underneath and get it really hot, and then they'd pass their newborn baby right into that thing and just burn it to death. You know, and yet we say, oh, how could they do that? What a terrible society. Well, that was the violent society that was before the flood. But what are we doing here in America today? It's not much different. No. Yeah. Oh, you shouldn't have your baby because of this and that and the other thing. And they might have this and this and that. So let's just kill your baby in the womb. I hope you look at those pictures that are going around Facebook and different places of the little dismembered little babies that as they come out and you see the, sure enough, you see the little head, you see the little body parts, so sad. And they say, oh, that's not a life, that's a fetus. That's just a mass of tissues. Well, guess what? That's killing a baby. That's killing a human soul. It's snuffing a human soul out of existence. But now New York has passed that law, but now New Mexico is now passed a law that's even more aggressive than that. So what is our nation becoming? Our nation is becoming a nation of those who still believe in the Bible, or at least the Judeo-Christian ethics, and those who say, nope, we don't want God in our society. We want to do what we want to do, and let us do what we want to do. and they're demanding these things. So we've got to draw the lines. The lines are being drawn. We've got to follow them. See what your representatives are up to. Okay, so coming back to this, number one, occultists are an abomination to the Lord. Number two, God destroyed the Canaanite civilization because it was permeated with occultism. Number three, God forbids his people to do such things. Okay, it's very clear, okay, that occult magic differs from the entertainment form of magic that uses sleight of hand and optical illusions to fool its onlookers. Occult magic requires superhuman power, and this power often comes through direct contact with demons. Well, let's go to the next slide. Okay, you can separate occult forms into two separate categories. You have magic forms and divination forms. Okay, that's what it says in the Bible, magic and divination. Well, magic forms were such as the Egyptian magicians and their rituals. Okay, think of that. When Moses and Aaron came up to Pharaoh and said, "Pharaoh, let my people go that we may serve God 3 days out in the wilderness. Everyone needs to go." Pharaoh said, "No, I'm not going to let you go." So Moses did turn the blood. First he put down a snake, his rod, and it became a serpent. Well, then the Egyptian magicians, they did their little enchantments, and they put down their rods, and they became snakes. You say, "Ah, ha, ha, see, we have the same powers as you, Moses. And your God, he doesn't have any power here. We have the same power. The devil has the same power." What did Moses' snake do to their snakes? He ate all their snakes. That's one hungry snake, you know. And so we see that God's snake destroyed all the devil's snakes, okay? Then the next one, the water into blood. What happened with the water into blood? Moses touched the Nile River with the tip of his rod, and immediately the whole Nile River became blood. What did the Egyptian magicians do? They called on the demons, and they used their little incantations, and what did they do? They were able to make some water into blood too. But number one, it wasn't the real thing. Number two, it was only small little pools, you know. You do the whole Nile River, you know. They couldn't do that. Okay, but anyway, so here the devil says, "See, I can do this too." And then the next one after that was frogs, and sure enough, frogs filled the land. And then the magicians, they were able to do a few frogs here and there. You know, they could do some of the frogs. "Ah, see, we can do this too, Moses." But then the third one was lice. That where it came literally from the dust. The dust was turned into lice. Oh, and lice was everywhere. Can you imagine lice? Oh, what a terrible, terrible plague that must have been. And at that point, the Egyptian magicians, they're trying, they're scratching, they're trying, and finally they just come out and say, "Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. We can't do this one." And they couldn't do any more of the plagues after that. Well, that is because the devil tries to give limited power to magicians. Why? Because they literally have to sell their soul. Some of what we're seeing tonight in rock music, the artists who perform rock music, you know what? They are honest. I have a whole book of quotes by them. They are honest, such as Led Zeppelin and all these other artists, Ozzy Osbourne, etc. They will tell you who's your inspiration, who gave you this incredible music, and to put these lyrics to it. They're, of course, very hate-filled and just very, it's garbage words and all these things. "Oh, it's such the music, how'd you get the inspiration behind this to put it all together?" And you know what? They're honest. They say, "I feel like I was a tool. I was just the medium for someone else to do this." As the words literally would come right down to my pens. The musical notes would literally come as if I wasn't even moving my hands. That's the musicians themselves, these rock artists themselves, literally penning paper from the devil himself or from demons, giving them the inspiration. Say, "Oh, just end it all." You know, the lyrics of all these these rebellious groups, what are they trying to tell young people? To end it all, to hate their authorities, to hate life, and to be nasty to people, to abuse people, to do drugs, to do violence, to say curse words, to live for money and to live for self. Okay? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to put two and two together. But they will actually tell you the truth. It was the devil who inspired me. Or it was a demon. I felt like something was coming in me. Well, they have opened themselves up to the devil's arts. And sure enough, he has given them demonic contact. Okay? A modern form, Satanism, witchcraft, Dungeons and Dragons, which is now just turned into so many role, not just board games, but video games. Dungeons and Dragons back in the 70s and 80s spawned a whole genre of magic games. Young people, you have them on your phones. They are accessible on the app stores. These magic games have come from Dungeons and Dragons, from actually people who want to talk to the devil. Okay? So any game that has magic in it is not innocent. It's not just, oh, it's a little, you know, it's a card trick. No, it's not. If it's not just a card trick, it's not an optical illusion. If they're actually saying magic points and crystals and all those other things, it's actually, it's an elementary level magic induction. Elementary level. They want to get you in very slowly and gradually. Magic charms and potions, New Age crystals, and pyramids. So on our phone, you have the options of playing any number of games on there that are filled with satanic underpinnings. Right. Satanic underpinnings. Okay? What are the ancient forms? We'll look at some of these. In addition to calling upon demons for help, Satanists conduct various rituals involving chanting and sacrifices. Casting spells plays a major role in some forms of witchcraft. The Old Testament term witchcraft, 2 Kings 9:22, in fact means magical incantations. Furthermore, the popular game Dungeons and Dragons teaches players the use of occult rituals and practices through role-playing. A lot of games now cast spells or say spells or actually teach certain effects of spells. Where did that come from? They got it by studying demonic things. They got it by studying spells and witchcraft themselves. Objects and potions have for centuries played a part in occult magic. For example, Isaiah rebuked the women of Israel. Let's turn to Isaiah 3:18. Isaiah 3 and verse 18. Let's see what the women in Isaiah's day did. Isaiah 3 and verse 18. Says Isaiah 3:18, let's read it together. In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their paws and their round tires like the moon. Okay, verse 19, the chains and the bracelets and the mufflers. Okay, now these are around their feet, around their calves, or I believe that's around the neck, and around, and what would they wear around their neck? They would wear amulets and symbols like the moon. They would literally wear these jewelry pieces that would look like a half moon or a crescent moon or another symbol. And where would this all come from? Well, it comes from the magic arts and the dabbling in witchcraft. Okay, so here God's people were involved in this, and God said He would discover, not only discover, He said He would literally show this to the nations. That, well, this is why I'm judging my people, because of what they're involved in. They're involved in these little sorcery things, and they think it's no big deal. These crescent-shaped amulets, like the moon, worn around the neck for supernatural protection, suggested a form of occult magic. They wore it for supernatural protection. Additionally, the New Testament suggests that drugs were used in connection with some forms of magic. Let's go to Galatians 5 and verse 20. Galatians 5 and verse 20. What's that? Yes, it talks about the other things that the women would wear, but we specifically want to target the occult things that they would wear. Galatians 5 and verse 20. Galatians 5 and verse 20 says, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these? Idolatry, witchcraft. These are the works of the flesh. Verse 18, but if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So here God says, put on the nine fruits of the Spirit, not put on the deeds of the flesh. The deeds of the flesh will always destroy us, but the fruit of the Spirit is what we need. We need in our own lives, our families need us to be filled with the Spirit, our churches need us to be filled with the Spirit, our communities need us to be filled with the Spirit. They don't need us to add in and say, oh, I'm a Christian, but I'm going to add in with some of the works of the flesh, such as witchcraft. Well, here that word in Ephesians 5:20 translates sorcery and witchcraft. The Greek term is the source of our English word pharmacy. Pharmacia comes from the source of the word sorcery and witchcraft. It referred to obtaining supernatural power by using special potions and drugs. Modern expressions include wearing magic charms and using special magic potions in connection with various forms of witchcraft. Some New Agers use crystals and pyramids, believing that these things give them cosmic power. Okay, so here we see, we think drugs are just modern in our age. Actually, in the 1800s, opium trade was rampant all over the world. People were getting high in the 1800s. People are getting high now. They're dying now. People back then were dying of the opioids and all the other drugs that were out there, and then using them to tap into the demonic realm. Okay, so young people, don't think that this you have the new thing. You don't. It's just the same regurgitated stuff that Satan is just trying to spew out on the next generation. Maybe this next generation will be dumber than the last. And they won't see it. They won't make the connection. And they'll just start using it and I'll destroy them, the devil says. Okay, so we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. Okay, so young people, we're trying to help you stay away from this stuff. It's very dangerous. Your friends may do it. Your friends may be involved in it. But guess what? You are children of the light, not children of the darkness. And God will protect you if you will let Him. And you can help lead your friends out of witchcraft, out of dabbling in the elementary things, and before they go into more serious things. Let's go to the next slide, John. There are also instances where kings or nations are specifically condemned by God for these practices. In Isaiah 47:9-15, the people are doomed to calamity because they have trusted in magic spells, sorceries, and astrologies since childhood. In 2 Chronicles 33, Manasseh the king makes the Lord angry. Let's read that, 2 Chronicles 33:6. And it says, he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times. In other words, he did the whole horoscope thing. He said, oh, it's Friday the 13th. I dare not do anything. Oh, it's Thursday the 8th. What's my horoscope today? What's the stars lining up? Well, Manasseh the king did all that. He used enchantments. He observed times. And he used witchcraft and dealt with the familiar spirit and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Let's find out what happened to him. Verse 9. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen, whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. God destroyed Israel because of Judah, because of Manasseh's wickedness, above all that his fathers had done. And so if you really want to get God angry at you, keep playing the witchcraft games. Keep dabbling in the elementary Harry Potter stuff and keep going in that direction, and you're going to have God angry with you. And as His children, we definitely don't want to be on the angry side of God, right?
Right.
You know, we need to have a healthy fear of God. Why? Because God loves us. He doesn't want to have to take us out to the woodshed and give us the spanking of our life. He wants to bless us and nurture us. He wants to teach us good things through the Word of God and through positive instruction in the local church and through reproof, rebuke, exhorting with long suffering and doctrine. He wants to give us wonderful teachings. But if we go our own way and if we defy the authorities in our life, that young people, that's why we take away your phones in church. Why? Because this stuff is out there, number one. But number two, Satan wants to distract you from God's Word. Anything to distract your mind from the Word of God. And he's trying and he's succeeding, unfortunately, in many churches to destroy the young people because they don't have such high standards. So that's why we need to keep our standards high. Good high standards will keep us from getting close to evil. But if we play that fence, if we say, well, we'll keep our young people real close to the cliff, but we'll try not to let them. We'll put a little fence right here, right along. No, let's not put our fence right along the cliff. Let's put our fence way back here. Let's make it. Let's give them high standards so that way that they don't get near touching the world's destruction. Okay, let's go to the next slide here. Are there other concerns about the Harry Potter stories? I got studied a little bit into the. What's the phenomenon of Harry Potter, why it was so successful, etc., and why it still is. Another concern revolves around the situational ethics found in the plots. Besides the fact that they introduced spells, witchcraft, and all that through the Harry Potter guy, there are instances where the kids break the school's rules. But because their actions ultimately save the day, they are rewarded rather than punished for their disobedience. In fact, Harry befriends a girl who he had previously found annoyingly legalistic about obeying the rules. Only after she lies to protect Harry and his friend, that's when he befriends her, after she lies. The story goes on to say that she became a bit more relaxed about breaking rules and she was much nicer for it. Okay, what is that teaching our young people? That you should break rules. Okay, that's literally instilling in them rebellion against authority. Also, the stories encourage elitism in painting a very derogatory view of anyone who does not practice magic. Non-magic folk are called muggles. They are looked down on as being clueless at best and mean-spirited and narrow-minded at worst. Harry is not shown how to forgive his mean muggle relatives. Instead, he imagines revenge on them and sees himself and his friends as better than they are. Huh. Pretty. Now you see the sinisterness of Harry Potter. They're teaching a whole new generation of millennials to say, you should believe in this stuff, and you should dabble in this stuff. And if anyone says to you, don't do it, or, oh, they don't believe in it, they're just you should just not like them at all, you know. Well, you could just see how the devil is priming the new generation, to the millennial generation, to get right involved in witchcraft. All through these Harry Potter books and through the many other things. Young people, stay away from Harry Potter. You don't need any of what the J.K. Rowling, the lady behind those books, okay? She knows her witchcraft. She knows what she's doing. She's not a Christian. She's not a born-again Christian. She's not a Bible believer. She hates God, okay? So we don't have any business reading people who are trying to change us into going the devil's way. Okay? So young people, be advised. Be warned. We love you. We care about you. Stay away from this stuff. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Why are so many kids fascinated by the occult these days? Many kids are fascinated by the occult because they have a deep spiritual hunger that is longing to be satisfied. Some are desperate for a life-changing encounter with the supernatural. They are looking for power and protection, especially if they feel victimized or wounded by their circumstances. How can our church reach out to these kids? We need to offer them the gospel, which is a relationship with our omnipotent God. They need to see that while the fellowship and empowerment that Harry Potter found in a school of witchcraft is counterfeit, there is real power and fellowship to be found in God. Make sure that your child or teen is involved in a church that offers a vibrant, biblically sound youth program and offers your support to help the existing programs and school classes in your church. We can help them see, hey, that stuff out there is fake. What the devil's trying to offer you is not real. It's not real protection. It's lending you into Satan's grasp. And that's not real protection. Real protection is becoming a child of God. God will give you guardian angels to watch over you, and most importantly, He will watch over you, and others will pray for you. And there is true power in prayer, and there is true power in the fellowship of God's people in church. This is where the power is. This is real power. This is God's power. This is people getting saved and their lives changing every day through drawing closer to Christ. Satan's power is very, number one, it's very elusive. Even people who give over their soul to the devil, they still may not get Satan's power. He'll just use them as a tool. He'll use them as a little trick, and he'll end up having them just go out and commit suicide one day. That's great power, right? Just being a foil of the devil to just hate people, hate life, and then going out and commit suicide. What power is that? That's just another life wasted, destroyed by the devil. So don't think that if you tap into this that there's real power there. No, most of the people who tap into the devil's power, they just end up getting wasted by the devil and destroyed by him. The few that go on to become wizards and witches and all those other things and try to tap into that, guess what? It really doesn't work. It really doesn't work. They will never give you prophecies that actually come true because they're false prophets. Satan doesn't know the future. Do you know that? Satan doesn't know the future. He tries to figure it out himself. He knoweth he hath but a short time in Revelation. And so he's trying to figure it out. He's trying to figure out how he can thwart God's plan here and there. And guess what? You look through history. Every time Satan's tried to thwart God's plan in a big way, how has it ended up for him? He lost. He lost. Okay? His history is a study of his story, God's story. Everywhere Satan has tried, he lost. Okay, so Satan doesn't know the future. So he can't impart that power to anybody. He can try to make believe people can, you know, the tarot card readers, you know, am I going to get lucky this weekend in Atlantic City? Am I going to hit it big? And they go to the tarot card reader and the psychiatrist and the psychic and all this. Well, guess what? They don't even know. Because the devil doesn't know. Okay? Here we see, let's stay content in the Word of God. And let's get into God's power. The more you say, well, how do I get God's power in my life? The more you obey God, the more you surrender over to God, guess what? You're going to have more and more of God's power. We need to be Spirit-filled Christians so we can have great power with God and with men, not for evil means and selfish means, but to win souls for Jesus Christ and to help Christians grow in Him. That is what God imparts His power for. He doesn't give it to just any Christian. He gives it to His Christians who are sold out to Him, surrendered to Him, who are obedient to Him, so that they can win souls to Him and help Christians grow. That's what He wants to give to our local church. Let us bow together in prayer. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed. As we close this service this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. As we think on these things, perhaps you'd say this morning, you know, Pastor Rice, I don't know for sure. If I were to die today, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't know if I'm out of the devil's kingdom yet, into God's kingdom. I don't know if I've been adopted into God's family through Jesus Christ yet, but I would like to be saved. I would like to get into God's family. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there where you're seated. Say, I want to pray. I want to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior today. As a Christian, you say, Pastor, I'm already saved, but I realize the devil's trying in many different ways to tempt me in these areas. And I see now what he's doing. And by God's grace this morning, I want to run from this. I want to run away from the occult. And I want to run to God and his word. If that's you, just slip up your hand. Amen, amen. I see those hands. Amen, amen. I see those hands. Amen, amen. Anyone else? Say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to run from the occult and his dangers. And I want to run to the Lord through his word and prayer. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time this morning to be reminded of these important truths that the devil is trying to get the souls of young people every day. Lord, we pray that we might help rescue them from his snares, from his traps, from his wicked devices all around us on the internet, at school, at work. Anywhere we go, we see these things encroaching on our society more and more. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to give the gospel, to help set people free from the power of Satan and his dark kingdom, that they may get saved and come into God's family and be adopted in as his child. Lord, we pray for our loved ones, our family members who are ensnared, our friends, our neighbors, our schoolmates who are ensnared right now. Lord, help us to rescue them before it is too late, so that they can go to heaven and that they can have God's blessings in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us go to our hymn book as we close this service. Hymn number 550. 550. Would you come and maybe say, Pastor, I want to be saved, or I want to be baptized. I want to get baptized. I want to take that step of believer's baptism, or I want to join the church. Would you come, take you by the hand, or if you want to just come and kneel at the altar, pray to the Lord and say, Lord, here's my heart. I want to give it to you this morning. 550, let's all stand as we sing. Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Would you come this morning? Kneel and pray to the Lord. Home, earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Time is now fleeting, the moments are passing, passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering, deathbeds are coming, coming for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling. calling, O sinner, come home. Let's have the pianist play that last verse as we pray to the Lord. Close in prayer at this time. We invite you back tonight, 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock for our 8:15 for our evening service as we study into the contemporary philosophy and music in the church, in the churches, and how the destructive effects it has. It shows some of the effects in it in these videos tonight. So come on back tonight at 7 to 8 o'clock, 8:15. Let us close in prayer at this time, and I'm going to ask Brother Bob, would you close it?